Y cuando le pisaban, estaba dando y dando vueltas para darle forma.
And something about potter's clay that's extremely important,
algo muy importante del barro de alfarero,
is that potter's clay has to be very clean.
Yes.
Tiene que ser algo muy limpio.
Correct?
Yes. Right.
Why?
¿Por qué?
That's exactly right. See, somebody knows what they're talking about. If there are impurities or dirt in the clay,
si hay impurezas o tierra en el barro,
what happens is that once the pot is put into the oven to be baked, you know, it goes in to be baked, right? It gets hardened into the shape that it was made into.
Hace que le dé la forma y se endurezca.
If there are any impurities, when it goes through the fire, it will crack and it will end up becoming less, what's the word I'm looking for?
Less valuable.
It ends up breaking over time. Is there some spiritual significance to that? You don't know what to translate.
No.
Am I talking too fast?
No, I'm okay.
Let me ask you another question.
Otra pregunta.
Those of you who have done this class before, once the pottery is shaped and molded,
una vez que ya está formada y dando, ya se tiene todo listo,
and it's clean clay. Remember, water has to be put into it over and over again to make it shaped and molded.
Una y otra vez poniéndose para que quede.
The potter shapes and molds it. The potter pours water into it. It's all symbols, friends.
Todo esto es simbolismo.
And then once it's in the exact shape it's supposed to be in, the potter puts it through the fire to harden it into its shape.
Para darle la forma.
And then once that's, and guess what? When it's done going through fire, what is the last thing that takes place?
Y una vez que se pone el fuego,
you glaze it or you seal it.
¿Qué haces? Lo sellas.
Are you with me, friends? Is this the same process that God is going to do with his people?
Amen. Yes.
You can't be sealed unless all the impurities are out.
Amen.
Because if there are impurities in your character, when you go through the fire, you will break.
Porque si hay impurezas, cuando Dios te ponga en el fuego, eso te va a quebrar.
And you will be a worthless material called in scripture a potsherd.
Y vas a ser material inservible.
Now the Bible says this, friends.
La Biblia dice es,
number one, we found out that the legs of iron represent which kingdom?
Las piernas de hierro, ¿qué representan?
Rome.
Roma.
So the question is, what does the clay represent?
La pregunta es, ¿qué representa el barro?
Because it says that there's going to be a mixture of iron and clay, correct?
Porque nos dice que hay una mezcla de barro y hierro.
Let's go now to Isaiah 64. Let's start to look at our final point.
Isaías 64. Vamos a ver los últimos puntos.
Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8.
64, versículo 8.
The Bible says this.
La Biblia dice esto.
Now I'm going to wait till we all get there.
Voy a esperar hasta que todos estemos ahí.
Isaiah 64, verse 8, the Bible says this.
64:8.
But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the what?
Clay.
We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. So who's the potter?
¿Quién es el alfarero?
The Lord. And who's the clay? His people, all right?
Nosotros somos el lodo.
Matter of fact, maybe that's not clear enough. Maybe that's not clear enough.
No sea tan claro.
So let's go to the book of Jeremiah to make it even more clear.
Vamos al libro de Jeremías para aclararlo más todavía.
Jeremiah 18,
Jeremías 18
and verse 6.
Versículo 6.
Jeremiah 18 and verse 6, the Bible says this. When you get there, please let me know by saying amen.
Cuando lleguen ahí, digan amen.
Jeremiah 18, verse 6.
18, versículo 6.
I hear pages turning. I'll give you one more moment. Jeremiah 18 and verse 6. The Bible says this. O house of what?
Israel.
Cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. All right, so who's the clay?
¿Quién es el barro?
The house of Israel.
Casa de Israel.
Or God's people. Now, let me ask you a question.
Una pregunta. Was the house of Israel in the Old Testament considered a church? Yes or no?
Yes.
Israel en el Viejo Testamento representaba una iglesia, ¿sí o no?
Yes.
Sí.
Let me prove it to you though.
Vamos a probarlo.
You don't mind a little bit of a Bible study tonight, do you?
Man.
Let's go to Acts chapter 7.
Hechos 8.
Let's prove that the house of Israel in the Old Testament was considered a church.
Vamos a probar que la casa de Israel en el Viejo Testamento representa una iglesia.
Acts chapter 7. Now this is the sermon of Stephen.
El sermón de Esteban.
Just before he was stoned by the Sanhedrin.
Antes de ser apedreado.
And in his sermon, the entire chapter, in chapter 7, he's delineating the history of Israel.
Y él está delineando la historia de Israel, Esteban, en su sermón que dio.
And in Acts chapter 7, in verses 37 and 38, notice what the Bible says.
37 y 38.
This is that Moses, which said unto the, who?
¿A quiénes?
Children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. This is he that was in the what? The church where? In the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So the Bible clearly says that the children of Israel was considered a church.
Los hijos de Israel nos enseña la Biblia que eran considerados la iglesia de Dios.
And we just read in Jeremiah 18 verse 6.
Y leímos en Jeremías 18:6.
That the house of Israel was likened unto clay.
Se compara con barro también.
So clay represents the house of Israel or the church.
Representa la casa de Israel o la iglesia.
Do you understand this? So in other words, a mixture of iron,
la mezcla de hierro,
and clay,
y barro,
symbolizes the mixture of church and state in Rome.
Simboliza la unión de la iglesia y el estado en Roma.
Because it was iron.
Porque era hierro, Roma.
It wasn't gold and clay.
No era.
It wasn't oro. Silver and clay.
No era plata y.
It was iron and clay. Which represents that after the collapse of the Roman Empire,
que representa después del colapso del Imperio Romano,
the once pure church represented by potter's clay,
una vez que la iglesia que representaba el barro,
once it mingled itself with the political power of Iron Rome,
una vez que se juntó con el poder político de Roma,
it no longer stayed potter's clay,
ya no se sirvió como barro.
But in Daniel chapter 2 verse 41, go back there quickly please.
Vamos a Daniel 2:41 nuevamente.
The Bible says it did not stay as potter's clay.
La Biblia dice que no siguió como barro.
The Bible says this, it says verse 41, Daniel 2:41, are we there? Amen.
2:41.
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with what kind of clay? Miry clay. So when the church mingled with the state, it no longer stayed God's church. It no longer stayed a pure church. It no longer stayed potter's clay, it became dirty clay. A dirty church, miry clay.
Cuando la iglesia se juntó con el Estado, ya no se mantuvo como barro puro, limpio, sino que se juntó y tuvo las impurezas, las suciedades que Dios nunca quiso en su iglesia.
Matter of fact, let's notice what the Bible says very quickly, friends, what mire represents in Scripture.
Vamos a ver lo que significa barro cocido en la Biblia.
Go to Isaiah 57, please. Isaiah 57.
57.
Isaiah chapter 57.
57, Isaías 57.
The Bible says this in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21.
20 y 21, versículo 20 y 21.
Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up what? Mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So mire is dirt, or the wicked. So the church became a dirty church, a wicked church. Are you all with me, friends?
Yeah.
La iglesia se hizo una iglesia sucia, se hizo lodo.
What church was that?
¿Qué iglesia era esa?
What church joined with the state in Rome? Coming down here, friends, we find that when the Roman Empire collapsed,
cuando el Imperio Romano colapsó,
another kingdom arose up out of the ashes of the ancient Roman Empire.
Otro reino se levantó de la ceniza
in the year,
de Roma.
In the year 538,
en el año 538 después de Cristo,
the feet and toes of iron and clay officially joined together.
Los pies de barro y de hierro se juntaron oficialmente.
This is the kingdom, friends, of the papacy.
Es el reino del papado.
And then the kingdom of God would come.
Y después el reino de Dios va a venir.
But we left something out.
Pero dejamos algo más.
We've gotten down to the feet of iron and clay.
Llegamos a los pies de barro y de hierro.
But what's left?
Pero qué falta?
The toes.
Los dedos.
How many of you have toes in the end of your feet?
¿Cuántos tienen dedos al final de sus pies?
So we have toes still to go.
Tenemos todavía los dedos para poder enfatizar.
Let's go now, very quickly, and we're going to go more into this tomorrow.
Vamos a hablar más de esto mañana, pero vamos a hablar algo un poco más en esta noche.
We're going to look tomorrow night at Daniel chapter 7, which repeats the same kingdoms.
Vamos a hablar mañana de Daniel 7, que repite los mismos reinos.
Four beasts, just like the four metals.
Cuatro bestias que representan las cuatro metales.
Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and also Rome.
Babilonia, Medo-Persia, Grecia, y Roma.
And then we find out,
y vamos a encontrar,
that when Rome collapsed,
que cuando Roma colapsó,
divided into 10 geographic regions,
se dividió en tres zonas, o 10 zonas geográficas,
that are still highly visible today. It's Western Europe.
Que todavía conocemos como la parte de Europa.
And out of this division, there would be a little horn that would rise.
Y de estas naciones europeas, un cuerno pequeño se iba a levantar.
And we'll talk, like I said, more tomorrow in more detail about this.
Y mañana hablaremos más en detalle.
And this little horn power would rule for a time, times, and the dividing of time.
Y este cuerno iba a dirigir o a reinar por tiempo, tiempos, y la mitad de un tiempo.
I'm simply going to go quickly through this right now because I said, like I mentioned, we'll do this tomorrow in more detail.
Voy a hablar un poco de esto más en detalle.
When you study this out, it would equal a time, would be 360 days, times, or 2 years, would be 720 days, and a half a time would be 180 days. And you add them up, and you come to 1,260 days.
Un tiempo en la Biblia significa un año o 360 días bíblicos. Tiempo significa dos años, igual a 720 días. Y medio tiempo, 180 días, cuando lo juntas, te da 1,260 días.
And in Scripture, a day equals a year.
En la Escritura, un día representa un año.
So this power will last for 1,260 years.
Y este poder iba a durar 1,260 años.
It's the same power as the feet of iron and clay, church and state in Rome, or the papacy.
Es la misma mezcla del Estado y la Iglesia que en realidad es el papado.
We'll identify this tomorrow in detail.
Vamos a hablar de esto en detalle mañana.
But for 1,260 years,
pero por 1,260 años,
from 538,
538
to 1798,
a 1798,
the papacy ruled the world.
El papado reinó el mundo.
Until it received a deadly wound.
Hasta que recibió una herida mortal.
And what I want to get to is the 10 toes.
Y donde me quiero enfocar es en los dedos.
Because the Bible teaches that this issue of church and state, iron and clay,
porque la Biblia enseña que esta mezcla de barro y de hierro
would last all the way until the 10 toes and until Jesus comes.
Iba a durar hasta el mismo tiempo de la venida de Cristo.
Are you all still with me?
¿Están conmigo todavía?
In other words, the Bible is predicting,
la Biblia está prediciendo,
that church and state will unite in the entire world just before Christ comes.
Que el mundo y la iglesia se van a juntar como en el pasado, el Estado y la iglesia nuevamente.
This is a little quote, very interesting right here, for those of you who ever read these. Manuscript 63 from 1899. I want to read this very quickly for the sake of the recording. "We have come to a time when God's sacred work is represented by the feet of the image in which the iron was mixed with the miry clay." Notice what this says here. "The mingling of churchcraft and statecraft is represented by the iron and the clay." That's coming from Manuscript 63, 1899. Now, how many of you have ever seen this Time magazine where Reagan and the Pope made a secret alliance?
¿Cuántos vieron esta revista de donde el Papa y Ronald Reagan hicieron la unión santa según como dice la escritura?
Is there a plan to unite church and state in America and the entire world?
Yes.
¿Hay un plan en América de unir a la iglesia y el estado y en todo el mundo?
What does the number 10 symbolize in scripture?
¿Qué representa el número 10 en la escritura?
What do those 10 toes represent?
¿Qué representan esos 10 dedos?
I want to just simply begin to close this out. Like I said, we'll go into more detail, much more detail tomorrow night. But may I give you one or two more scriptures?
¿Me dejarían darles dos escrituras más para entrar más en detalle? Mañana hablaré más en detalle de eso también.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
¿Está bien?
I'd like you to turn to just two more scriptures.
Dos escrituras más.
One is found in the book of Zechariah.
En el libro de Zacarías.
In the Old Testament.
En el Viejo Testamento.
Zechariah chapter 8.
Zacarías 8.
What does the number 10 symbolize in Scripture?
¿Qué representa el número 10 en la Escritura?
Numbers symbolize things.
Los números representan o simbolizan algo también.
The number 7.
El número 7.
Symbolizes a complete cycle, completion. It's a number that God oftentimes uses.
Representa la totalidad que Dios utiliza siempre.
The number 6 oftentimes refers to man.
El número 6 siempre representa al hombre.
Man was made on the 6th day. The number of the man is 666.
El hombre fue hecho en el sexto día. El nombre del hombre del 666 es también un número de hombre.
The number 12 symbolizes the kingdom of God.
El número 12 representa el reino de Dios.
If 12 tribes and 12 apostles and
12 patriarcas, 12 apóstoles.
And in the literal kingdom of God, you have 12 foundations and 12 gates and 12 pearls and all these 12s.
Y en el reino de Dios en el cielo, 12 puertas, 12 tronos.
The number 40
El número 40
symbolizes a time of test or trial.
Simboliza prueba.
Noah was tested for 40 days and 40 nights on the ark when it was raining, right?
Noé fue probado por 40 días y 40 noches.
Moses was tested for 40 days and 40 nights twice, by the way, when he pled for the children of Israel when they sinned.
Moisés también fue probado 40 días y 40 noches dos veces.
Elijah was tested for 40 days and 40 nights when he ran from Jezebel.
Elías también fue probado por 40 días.
Jesus was tested for how many days and nights? 40 days and 40 nights.
40 días.
But what about the number 10?
¿Pero qué tal el número 10?
10, we're going to find out,
vamos a darnos cuenta,
symbolizes comprehensiveness or all-inclusiveness.
Simboliza unidad.
Or can symbolize the entire world.
O en todo el mundo en sí.
Before I read this, let me ask you a question. How many commandments does God have?
¿Cuántos mandamientos tiene Dios?
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes. Seguros.
You're positive.
Seguros?
You're sure?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're wrong.
Okay. ¿Están mal?
When I read my Bible, there are hundreds of laws.
Cuando leo mi
are there not?
Hay muchas leyes, ¿cierto?
I think there's something like 613 laws or something like that in the Old Testament.
613, por ahí así.
But 10 is comprehensive. It sums them up. It includes everything.
Pero diez incluye todo.
Are you with me, friends? It's comprehensive.
Es una unidad total.
How many lepers did Jesus cleanse on that one miracle that he did when he cleansed the lepers?
¿Cuántos leprosos curó Jesús?
10 lepers. And they were Jew, and there was also a what? A Gentile. That was a symbol, right? It was a literal history, but it was also a parable. It was an allegory. It was a symbol. In other words, Jesus, by his sacrifice, was going to cleanse the world from the leprosy of sin, both Jew and Gentile. I'm going to pause. Go ahead.
Okay. Jesús, a través de ese milagro, estaba dando a entender que iba a limpiar al mundo, significando a judíos y gentiles por ese milagro, por su muerte.
But who came back and thanked Jesus?
The Gentile.
The Gentile, representing that the Jews would reject his merits, and the gospel would go to the Gentiles. Are you with me, friends?
Pero quien regresó, solamente el gentil, representando que los judíos iban a rechazarlo, los nueve, y los gentiles lo iban a aceptar.
So 10 includes everything. Let's go to Zechariah 8:23. Zechariah 8:23.
Zacarías 8:23.
Our last two closing scriptures, Zechariah 8:23, and then we're going to go to Revelation to close out.
8:23.
The Bible says, are we all there together, friends? Amen?
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that how many men? 10 men shall take hold out of how many languages? All the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So 10 men symbolize how many languages? All the languages of all the nations. So 10 symbolizes the entire world. Are you all with me, friends?
Representa todo el mundo, como vemos en la
Biblia. Last scripture.
La última.
Revelation chapter 17.
Apocalipsis 17.
The Bible says that 10 horns would join with the beast for the space of an hour.
La Biblia dice que 10 cuernos iban a juntar con la bestia por espacio de una hora.
A horn in prophecy symbolizes a king or kingdom.
Un cuerno representa en la Biblia un rey o un reino también.
The Bible says in Revelation 17 in verse 12.
17 versículo 12.
And the, are we all there, friends? Amen.
¿Estamos ahí todos?
And the, how many horns?
Ten
horns. What does a horn symbolize again, we said?
¿Qué representa un cuerno?
A king or kingdom.
Rey, un rey.
That's in Daniel chapter 7. It says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 what?
Kings.
Now, wait a minute. In order to be a king, you have to have a what?
Kingdom.
So the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. And these have how many minds?
One mind.
And shall give their power and strength unto the Antichrist. And these shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful friends. That's the stone right there that smites the image on the feet. Let's notice right here, friends, we wind down. Look at what this says. Very interesting from Exodus2006.com. This is not some conspiracy theory. This is fact. Notice what this says.
Esto es un hecho, no es una conspiración lo que vamos a leer aquí.
Founded in 1968, the Club of Rome, very interesting name.
El Club de Roma, un nombre muy interesante.
Is responsible for today's United Europe.
Es responsable por la Unión de la Europa.
Its 1972 report, The Limits of Growth, served as a blueprint for this gutsy new political, economic, and military union. Already the Club of Rome has divided the world. I want you to read this sentence right here. Already the Club of Rome has divided the world into how many?
Yes.
10 political, economic regions referred to by them as kingdoms. Very interesting.
Dice que ahora este Club de Roma ya dividió el mundo dentro de 10 regiones económicas, refiriéndose a ellos como a 10 reinos.
Adopted by 25 countries at the second session of the World Constituent Assembly, the 1977 Constitution for the Federation of Earth, I had that document, by the way,
tengo el documento que se lo puedo mostrar,
proposes an administrative structure, a world government of 20 world electoral and administrative regions with 10 mega regions.
10 mega regiones están incluidas dentro de este documento.
And there's the actual map.
Y aquí está el mapa.
From their own website, right there, they want to divide the world into 10 parts. Very interesting.
Y aquí estamos viendo la división de las 10 reinos.
There's the United Nations symbol. The United Nations symbol has the world in its crosshairs.
Ahí vemos el símbolo de la Nación Unida.
And is the papacy calling for a new world order?
Yes.
¿Y el papado está llamando por la unión del mundo?
Associated Press. Pope John Paul II rang in the new year on Thursday with a renewed call for peace in the Middle East and Africa and the creation of a what?
¿Qué dice?
Of a new world order based on respect for the dignity of man and equality among nations. This year, John Paul directed his thoughts to continuing conflicts around the globe, but he stressed that to bring about peace, there needs to be a new respect for constitutional American law, no, it's international law, and the creation of a what? a new international order based on the goals of the United Nations, which is filled with spiritualism. And we'll talk about that maybe later on this week. Coming from CNN.
Viene de CNN.
Article entitled Pope Calls for New World Order, January 1st, 2004.
El artículo llama por la unión del mundo.
But that was Pope John Paul II. I'm sure the new Pope is much different.
Yeah. Yo creo que el Papa este, San Pablo II, es diferente. Vamos a ver el nuevo.
Well, let's see what he says.
Vamos a ver qué dice este.
Guess where he's talking? Where is that a picture of?
¿Dónde está él hablando?
He's the only religious leader in the world that can address the United Nations at will.
Es el único líder religioso que le puede hablar a las Naciones Unidas.
You know that when Pope John Paul II came to the United States when Bill Clinton was in office?
¿Saben cuando Juan Pablo II vino a Estados Unidos en el tiempo de Bill Clinton?
How many of you remember that?
¿Cuántos acuerdan de eso?
And the Pope made Bill Clinton and Al Gore sit in the rain waiting for him for over an hour.
You're kidding.
How many of you remember that? They waited for him.
Hizo que Bill Clinton lo esperara por alrededor de una hora o más.
That reminds me of back in the
yes.
1500s, or was it, what was it, when the Pope forced the German emperor to wait outside in the snow.
Can't wait
the
fourth.
With no shoes on.
Man.
It is a sign of who is dominating whom.
Man. Esto enseña realmente quién domina a quién.
And when the Pope finally arrived,
y cuando el Papa finalmente
the Vice President of the United States of America,
el presidente de los Estados Unidos de
took the Pope by his frail arm and walked him onto the stage while an announcement went, "Ladies and gentlemen, we introduce to you Pope John Paul II," and the stadium erupted in cheers. And then the football stadium that was filled with over a million people began to sing a song to the Pope. Please translate this.
Dice que cuando llegó el Papa, el presidente lo agarró por su mano y lo dirigió a la plataforma donde lo presentó y lo hizo una gran fiesta donde alrededor de un millón de gentes empezaron a aplaudir y hacerle una algarabía.
And does anyone know what song they sang?
¿Y saben qué canción cantaron?
He's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole wide world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, they sang to the Pope of Rome. What do you think he's telling the United Nations there, friends? What are some of the goals of the United Nations? Coming from Wikipedia.
Viniendo de Wikipedia en el internet.
World government,
el gobierno mundial,
is the concept of a political body that would make, interpret, and enforce international law.
Es el concepto de un concepto político de un cuerpo que va a interpretar, enforzar la ley internacional.
Inherent to the concept of world government is the idea that nations would be required to pool or to surrender sovereignty over some areas. In effect, I'll continue reading, a world government would add another level of administration above the existing national governments or provide coordination over areas national governments are not capable of adequately addressing as independent polities. World government. Continue on. It says this as well. Globalization, in a literal sense, is international integration. It can be described as a process by which the people of the world are unified into a single society. That is called socialism.
Amen.
That is called global communism. And friends, may I be blunt? We have a president in office today in the White House that is a Marxist socialist child of the New World Order.
The truth.
Y tenemos un presidente hoy que es un marxista, un socialista, que es un títere del nuevo orden mundial.
And some people may accuse me, oh, you're racist because you don't like a black man.
Y tú me puedes decir, o gente puede decir,
have mercy.
Racista por el moreno que
may I be honest, and I'll record this on camera so you have it live. I'm just as white as Barack Obama.
Dice, yo soy tan blanco, tan negro como Barack Obama.
Barack Obama's mother was white.
La mamá de Barack Obama era
My blanca. Mother was white.
Mi mamá era blanca también.
Barack Obama's father was black.
Su papá era negro.
And my father was Puerto Rican, which is a mixture of black and Spanish and Indian, so I got some black in my blood even though I look Irish.
Y mi papá era puertorriqueño, una mezcla de moreno con latino, a pesar de que parezca.
I'm not a Democrat, and I'm not a Republican, I'm a Christian.
No soy ni republicano,
and, I serve a God that is setting up a kingdom that's not of this world.
Amen.
And friends, we're on the verge of a stupendous crisis that we have no clue that we're about to go into.
There he is. Límite de la entrada de los tiempos más dificultosos de la tierra.
That is not an altered picture, that is the actual picture itself of the United Nations.
Esto es una foto de las Naciones Unidas, literalmente.
And this is the actual preamble of the United Nations Charter, the official document of the United Nations.
Este es el documento oficial de las Naciones Unidas.
And here's what they say.
Y es lo que dice.
We, the peoples of the United Nations, determined to have succeeding generations from the scourge, to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind, to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights. Their understanding of human rights is different than your understanding of human rights. In the dignity and worth of the human person, and the equal rights of men and women of all, and of nations large and small, and on and on and on it goes. And it says this right here, find it very interesting. It says this in their official document. It says to practice tolerance and live together in peace with one another as good neighbors. Oh, doesn't that sound nice? I mean, it sounds nice, right?
De tolerancia, de vivir como
But may I share with you something? That you cannot live in peace with one another as good neighbors unless you have the law of God in your heart.
Amen.
But then notice what it says right here, this sentence.
Pero vean lo que dice aquí, la siguiente.
It says that they want to unite their strength to maintain international peace and
security.
What does the Bible say when the world says peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them.
¿Qué dice la Biblia que cuando hablen paz y seguridad, qué dice que va a venir? Destrucción repentina.
So friends, based upon the more sure word of prophecy,
basado en la palabra profética,
when you see the world come together with the Pope at the head, church and state unite,
cuando vean al papado y el mundo juntarse,
for the peace and safety of the world, because of financial catastrophes and flooding and famines and war,
por todas las catástrofes financieras de la tierra, todo.
When you see the world come together,
cuando lo vean juntarse,
under the authority of Rome,
bajo la autoridad de Roma,
you know that sudden destruction is about to hit this planet.
Amen.
Destrucción repentina está por caer sobre la tierra.
I want to close this out.
Voy a cerrar esto.
The Pope with that big pointy hat even looks like a little horn. Do not fear, put your trust in him, speaking of Christ. The life-giving power of his light is an incentive for building a new world order based on just, ethical, and economic relationships. He says that Jesus is trying to build a new world order. Is that true?
Dice que Cristo está tratando de hacer un nuevo orden mundial. ¿Es lo que dice, cierto eso?
He is trying to build a new world.
Dice él es lo que está haciendo.
Now this is an old plan, friends, and we don't have time to get into this tonight.
Plan antiguo, en realidad.
I'm going to get on past all this, friends. Back in the Tower of Babel, they had 10 nations that came together back in the Tower of Babel.
En el tiempo de Babilonia, eran 10 naciones también que se juntaron.
I just want to wrap this up. Friends, here we are today.
Aquí estamos nosotros hoy día.
When you see the unification of church and state,
cuando vea la unificación de iglesia y estado,
with religious persecution,
con la persecución religiosa,
the papacy, the United States, the entire world in a new world order,
el papado, la nación de las Naciones Unidas y el mundo entero,
that's when you know, friends, that the stone is about to smite that image.
Es cuando la roca va a destruir la imagen.
And that's where we are.
Y es donde estamos ahora.
We are on the verge.
Estamos en la entrada
of a new world order,
de un nuevo orden mundial,
and we're also on the verge of a new world.
Amen.
Y también en la entrada de un nuevo mundo.
How many of you want to be a part of that everlasting kingdom?
Amen.
¿Quién quiere ser parte de ese reino eterno?
I close with this quotation.
Cierro con esta cita.
The kingdom of grace. What is the kingdom of God?
El reino de gracia.
The kingdom of grace was instituted immediately after the fall of man, when a plan was devised for the redemption of the guilty race. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It then existed in the purpose and by the promise of God, and through faith, men could become its subjects. Yet it was not actually established until the death of Christ. Even after entering upon his earthly mission, the Savior wearied with the stubbornness and ingratitude of men. You know, that's so amazing. It says that he had become wearied with our foolishness.
Dice que Dios se tuvo que cansar en nuestras cosas, tonterías que hacemos.
You know, I don't think enough of us wrap our minds around the fact that we can actually wear out the patience of God.
Yes, amen.
Muchos de nosotros no podemos ni pensar ni darnos cuenta que gastamos la paciencia.
You know that there is a line in the sand that God has.
Sabes que Dios hay una línea en la arena que Dios marca.
And when individuals
y cuando individuos
or even nations cross that invisible line,
o naciones cruzan esa línea,
grace is withdrawn.
La gracia se retira.
And the judgments of God begin to fall.
Y los juicios de Dios empiezan a caer.
Even after entering upon his earthly mission, the Savior, wearied with the stubbornness and ingratitude of men, might have drawn back from the sacrifice of Calvary, but praise God he didn't.
Amen.
In Gethsemane, the cup of woe trembled in his hand. Continuing on, it says this right here. He might even then have wiped the blood sweat from his brow and have left the guilty race to perish in their iniquity. But had he done this, there could have been no redemption for fallen men. But when the Savior yielded up his life and with his expiring breath cried out, "It is finished, forgive me. I need to get this computer so it works a little bit better, friends." And it says right here, had he done this, there could have been no redemption for fallen men. But when the Savior yielded up his life and with his expiring breath cried out, "It is finished," then the fulfillment of the plan of redemption was assured. The promise of salvation made to the sinful pair in Eden was ratified. The kingdom of grace, which had before existed by the promise of God, was then established.
Amen.
And friends, tonight,
en esta noche,
because of what Christ has done,
por lo que Cristo hizo,
and because of what Christ is still doing for us in heaven,
y por lo que Cristo todavía hace en el cielo,
God offers to you and I an invitation to be part of the kingdom of grace.
Dios te ofrece una invitación para ser parte del reino de gracia.
You know what, friends? Let me be very frank.
Déjenme serles muy franco.
There are only two kingdoms.
Hay solo dos reinos.
The kingdom of God,
el reino de Dios,
and the kingdom of Satan.
Y en el reino de Satanás.
And you and I have to be a part of one of the two kingdoms.
Y tú y yo tenemos que ser parte de uno.
There's a true church,
hay una verdadera iglesia,
and there's a false church.
Hay una falsa iglesia.
And this week we're going to identify both of them.
Y en esta semana vamos a identificar ambas.
But tonight,
pero en esta noche,
God is inviting you and I to be part of his kingdom. How many of you can say amen? I want to be a part of the kingdom of grace.
¿Cuántos pueden decir esta noche que quieren ser parte del reino de Dios?
Then if that's your prayer, friends, and if that's your desire,
si ese es tu deseo,
then let us kneel together and pray.
Vamos a orar a Dios en de rodillas.
Our gracious God and our loving Father which art in heaven,
nuestro Padre celestial que estás en los cielos,
holy is your name.
Santo es tu nombre.
We thank you so very much for the more sure word of prophecy that sheds light upon our path.
Te damos gracias por la palabra profética más segura que nos da luz en nuestra vida.
We thank you for the sacred word of God that tells us how close we truly are to the coming of Jesus Christ.
Te damos gracias por tu palabra que nos enseña qué tan cercanos estamos a la segunda venida de Cristo.
But tonight,
pero en esta noche,
our prayer is simply this, O God.
Nuestra oración es simplemente esta.
While the world is collapsing all around us,
mientras el mundo está colapsando alrededor nuestro,
and while evil men are trying to carry out their wicked purposes to control their fellow man,
y mientras hombres perversos están tratando de controlar al mundo entero,
our prayer tonight is that, Lord,
nuestra oración en esta noche es,
you would
Señor,
take our hearts,
que tomen nuestro corazón,
and make them your own property,
y lo hagas tu propiedad,
and grant us thy Holy Spirit,
y nos des de tu Espíritu Santo,
and save us in your kingdom, we pray.
Sálvanos en tu reino, te oramos.
As we prepare to part from this place, O God, I pray that you would keep us safe.
Mientras nos preparamos para salir de este lugar, te pedimos que nos guardes.
And I pray that, Lord, if there are any relatives or people that we know that need to come to these meetings, I pray that you'd work upon their hearts to give them desires to come out.
Señor, sabemos de que hay personas familiares que necesitan escuchar esto. Te pedimos que obres en sus corazones.
Bring these meetings higher throughout the week. pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. And I pray, dear God of heaven, that when all is said and done, we would be part of the army that would march through the city of God and stand upon that sea of glass. Is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Nuestra oración es esta, en Cristo Jesús.
Amen.
Amen. Gracias por haber venido en esta noche.